It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do.
Devin Thomas recovered it. But the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set. He's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline. And it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds?
Yes. Manningham on the sideline.
Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball. And it's incomplete.
And the ball game's over. And the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Medham.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions or comments. The hashtag Giants Chat. And it's all brought to you by Andrew Moore. Good morning, everybody. I'm John Schmelk. He's Lance Medham. And the NFL playoffs continue. The Giants offseason continues. And it's really just a, it struck me yesterday, Lance, thinking about it, that last year, we probably weren't done with Super Bowl, victory parade, getting done with the season, locker cleanout day, till probably February 13th, give or take, February 15th. And this year, you're looking at literally a month and a half of extra time in the offseason that this team did not have last year. And it's just something that struck me the other day, thinking about, you know, how tough it was last offseason and how short it seemed, trying to turn everything back around. It just struck me yesterday exactly how different it is this year.
Yeah, because you had the lockout prior to last season, so it was a very quick turnaround for the players to report. They worked out here at the Timex Center, got everything going in preparation for the season, and then all of a sudden, this offseason was rather short because you were transitioning from the Super Bowl festivities, as you just alluded to, John. Before you know it, it's mini camp and OTA time. Akeem Nix gets hurt, training camp starts up, and they're already raising the banner and starting up the 2012 campaign. That's why, as I touched on yesterday, you know, maybe it's a bit of a blessing in disguise now that they have a rather lengthy offseason this year to really step back, evaluate the roster, and determine what direction they want to go in via free agency or the draft.
Wow, that's like captain optimism looking at things right there by Lance Medham. Unexpected out of you.
Well, I think that the coaching staff has to look at it from that perspective. And everybody around here is frustrated. They're not at all pleased with how the season played out in the second half. After a 6-2 start, I think most people assume that the Giants, at worst, even if they won half of their final eight games, would win this division and head into the playoffs. Now that it hasn't happened, you really can look back at the final eight games and see, why are these trends occurring? Why is there breakdowns in the second half of the season? Is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it the draft? Do we need to infuse more youth? You know, this is the time to take advantage of that. And I think that they can do a lot of damage, as I like to say, in terms of preparation for the upcoming season in the next couple of months and determine, you know, where they want to go.
Now, the question we posed to Giant fans this morning on Facebook and on Twitter, who do you think will make the Pro Bowl for the Giants in 2014? Now, that's a year from now. Eli Manning got named as a Pro Bowl alternate yesterday, with Aaron Rodgers saying he would not be attending, with what he so non-specifically phrased as a myriad of injuries that he had over the course of the year, which basically tells me he didn't feel like playing in a game the week after the season was over.
Remember, Rodgers last season was extremely critical of the Pro Bowl and said that a lot of the NFC and AFC players were not trying hard enough, so no surprise that he's not itching to play in this year's contest.
Waste of his time, in other words. And between the injuries and the teams that are in the Super Bowl not sending their players, to me, the Pro Bowl is losing a lot of its luster. But you know what? Here's the problem, though. It still gets ratings, which means the NFL still makes money on the game, which means it's not going anywhere. Because as long as the green flows, the Pro Bowl is not changing.
Well, the question is, can you move the Pro Bowl to maybe make it more appealing?
What do you mean?
Can you maybe time it out a little bit differently?
Did you find it more appealing when it was a week after the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Maybe that's not necessarily a bad idea.
What, do you want to put it mid-season? NBA All-Star Game style?
I actually think doing it after the Super Bowl would probably be a wise decision. Number one, you can have some of the players that participate in the Super Bowl even have an opportunity to get into the game.
Though, in fairness,
a good thing.
In the past, a lot of the teams in the Super Bowl and the players on those teams did not participate in the Pro Bowl, even when it was the week after the Super Bowl. You know, guys are going on vacation, they're doing their celebrations, all that sort of stuff.
But there's a greater chance, I think, that they would take part in the game if
of
you
course.
Moved it to after.
Well, anything's bigger than zero.
Well, part of why I think it loses its appeal is because a lot of the top players who deserve to be in the Pro Bowl don't wind up getting in. And that's why we see year after year the third and fourth alternates starting in the Pro Bowl.
They should just play like a flag football game. No, seriously, I mean, the way the Pro Bowl is done with these guys, you know, no one's hitting, no one wants to get hurt, obviously. Why not just play like a flag football game? You play 7-on-7 like you do in practice. And you play a little flag football. I realize you can't really use the running backs at that point quite as well as you would like. But, I mean, does anybody – I guess people watch it. I don't understand why they do. I've literally, in 15 years, I haven't watched a Pro Bowl once.
Well, I think
not
what,
once.
What America does not know is that when the Giants personnel goes up against the Jets personnel in flag football, that's the type of thing that they need to start televising regularly. Because from what I heard, and unfortunately I wasn't able to take part in this year's festivities, which I'm still a bit bitter about.
I had nothing to do with it.
Well, I know you did not, but the people who ran the event did not do their due diligence.
Who shall remain nameless?
Me. Yes, we'll leave it nameless, even though it may be somebody who does work here on Giants.com. Hint, hint. Anyway, getting back to the big topic at hand, I mean, that was clearly an energetic contest.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, very few people knew about the results or came out to root on you at MetLife Stadium, I take it.
Well,
how was the turnout, by the way, that game?
In terms of people watching?
In terms of people watching,
no,
yeah.
There was nobody there watching.
Nobody
there.
I thought some fans were allowed to come, though. Wasn't there a game after your contest between the Giants and the Jets personnel?
Well, yes, but, you know, we actually played before the tournament started. So we got the game before the regular people started
showing up.
Well, it's
the build-up to the main event.
Exactly.
So, I would think that would spark.
I mean, there were some people from the Giants and the Jets there following on. You know, I tried to engineer an epic comeback at the end of the game. I couldn't get it done. I ran out of time.
Falling short, time after time.
Well,
so, see, you could put some work in this offseason.
I was only given like a half a game to do it. So,
well, who played quarterback the first half?
Well, the first quarterback out of the gates was one of the guys, Frankie Scacciaferro, was one of our camera guys. And then Dave Melroy took over.
Wow.
After we only
really brought out the all-stars.
After we only had, I think, one touchdown in the first 2.5 quarters, change had to be made.
Sounds like the Jets offense.
I didn't bring it up, though. Meadow did. Don't look at me.
Well, I just figured it was a perfect opportunity, given we were talking about the ratings regarding the Pro Bowl, and he was recommending that we go to flag football.
Potential starters for 2014. There we go. Well, no, let's not go nuts. So, folks, here we go. Who will make the Pro Bowl for the Giants in 2014? Let's go to the calls, 201-939-4513. Joe's in New York. Joe, what's going on, pal? Joe, you there, man?
How you guys doing?
Joe,
what you got?
I was calling to ask, do you think the Giants need more no huddles in their offense? Because their offense, like, seems kind of slow. Like, it seems like they don't keep, like, the defense on their heels. So, like, would you suggest, like, they need more no huddles?
Well, Joe, I don't know if you necessarily need, like, a super fast-paced no huddle. I will say this, though. It seems to me that the offense too often waits for there to be 3 or 4 seconds left on that play clock, sometimes as few as one, before they snap the football, which I think does give the defense time to set. And frankly, it takes some of the uncertainty out of it for the defense when guys can jump off the line of scrimmage and rush the passer. So, you know, I think there is something to be said for that. But do I think Tom Coughlin's going to go to a constant no-huddle offense? Probably not. We saw him try it. I'm trying to remember what game it was. In the early parts of one game this year, it might have been against the Bengals, and it simply did not work. The Giants couldn't get anything going, and it really backfired. So do I think it's going to be a constant thing? No. Do I think the Giants could increase their pace on offense? No question about it.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the phone call. And I think that they need to find maybe a balance to integrate it in. There have been examples, John, throughout this season and last season where right before the half, when it seems as if their backs are against the wall, they do a nice job of orchestrating that 2-minute drill where they're able to really gain some continuity on offense and walk away with some points. But to make it seem as if you need to do that all 4 quarters, I don't know necessarily if that's the best game plan for this team, given that you then also expose yourself to penalties, which has plagued this team. Remember, they have been able to get in the red zone and this is pretty much a plot that played out all throughout this season. Getting to the red zone was not the issue for the Giants this season. Being in a position to score points wasn't the issue. The problem was the execution once you get within the 20s. That is why Lawrence Tynes was setting a record pace for field goals this season.
And to me, that comes down to running the football. We talked about it a bunch of times on this show. If you want to have a lot of success scoring in the red zone, you want to be a good running football team. And the Giants simply, they were better this year, but they still weren't quite as good as they need to be if you want to be super effective in the red zone.
And perhaps a Giant in the backfield will make a name for himself or make an impact to get into the Pro Bowl in 2014 as we continue our conversation here on Big Blue Kickoff this morning.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Richard in Pennsylvania. Richard, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
What's up, Rich?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm doing well, Richard. What's on your mind?
Not much. I want to talk a little bit about David Wilson and how his future is with the Giants.
Sure.
As you saw last season, that game, 327 all-purpose yards. Do you think that's going to stick next year? You think the Giants are going to keep him around as a definite second slot for running back?
Honestly, Richard, I think there's a decent chance David Wilson is your primary running back next year. Now, that's not saying he's going to get 25, 30 touches a game. I think he'll still limit his touches, you know, in the 15 to 18 area. They'll leave him on kickoff return since he's so dynamic in that position. And I think that'll be more David Wilson's role next year. Again, if he gets a little bit better at things like pass protection, understanding the playbook, things of that nature. But I think what he showed you the last few games of the season, David Wilson is primed for a bigger role next year, perhaps as the Giants' primary ball carrier.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Richard, appreciate it.
I think Wilson thrived in that last game when they utilized him on first and second down and worked Bradshaw in as a third down back. The bottom line is they have to rely on multiple running backs next season. I think that's the one thing that you could take away from this season. Is David Wilson going to play an integral role in next year's game plan? Absolutely. But he is not necessarily going to be the workhorse where they're going to look to him to carry the ball 20 to 25 times. They're going to need the Andre Browns. They're going to need the Ahmad Bradshaws, or perhaps, you know, bring back a Lumpkin or a Terrain, some veteran who is good in pass protection and can catch the football out of the backfield. Teams that are in the postseason right now, I think New England is probably the best example, John. It's not a one-man show in the backfield. You have different running backs who have different strengths, and therefore it keeps defenses on their toes. And I think the Giants can follow that mold. It's just a matter of everybody staying healthy.
No question about it. And you want to have, in this day and age, three running backs that can play and you can count on because of injuries, different styles. If you want to use one of them on special teams, a la David Wilson, you want to have three guys you can count on. And we've talked about this over the course of the year on the show. I think the combination next year of Wilson, Bradshaw, and Andre Brown is a good one. I think if you go to war with those three guys, maybe you have a fourth backup, whether it's a veteran or a young guy that you can get in the mix when you want, I think the Giants will be more than good next year running back.
And the Giants have a strong track record. Look at their history where they've had three running backs. They've done very well. That 2008 season when they were trying to defend the Super Bowl, they had three running backs and they were able to rely on them and use them throughout the game plan. Derek Ward played a big role on that team. You know, there's a blueprint here within this franchise. And just getting back to the teams, as I mentioned in the playoffs, it's not just New England, John. Look at the Falcons. Jaquizz Rodgers and his development has helped balance out Michael Turner.
And all the talk about Ray Rice, how about Bernard Pierce?
Yeah.
He's getting about 10 carries a game. He's a bigger back. He's a good complement to Ray Rice. Every one of these teams, and even the 49ers. You look at Frank Gore. Kendall Hunter got a number of carries early in the year. Now that he's out for the year, their second-round pick, Michael James, is getting a lot more. Was he a first-round alum? He was number second round, right?
Yeah, Michael James.
Michael James, a second-round pick. Did they even ever activate their first-round pick, which is a wide receiver? Jenkins, right? I don't think he was ever active over the course of the whole year, which is amazing. If he made a lot of progress watching this year, he could actually be a big factor next year. Though I'm surprised he didn't do a whole lot once Manning went out that knee injury. So anyway, getting off topic, they use multiple running back sets as well with James, Frank Gore, and of course Kaepernick. It can be a quasi running back at times as well.
But you have versatility.
Yeah.
It's just another example that, you know, teams have trouble withstanding the whole season when you just have one running back who you think you're going to give 25 carries to every game. They're going to wind up wearing down as the season progresses.
Yeah,
and the four teams that are left, you know, have some balance. And I think that that's clearly what the Giants showcase later in this season, and that's what they're going to move forward with next year.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Frank down in Virginia. Frank, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love the show. At first, I wanted to, you know, answer the question on who you think was going to make the Pro Bowl for 2014.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd have to say Stevie Brown. He should have made it this year. He was the best thing we had back there in the secondary. And I think pretty sure if he continues the way he does, he'll make the Pro Bowl next year. Second thing, I want to hit on the defense for a minute. Do you think Corey Webster will be back with us? And the reason why I say this, from the time when Bill Sheridan was our D coordinator and our defense was horrendous that year, the year after we won the Super Bowl, I've watched his play, and to me, the guy takes plays off at times, man. He doesn't put enough effort. I think personally, Corey Webster, he's made plays in the past here and there, but he's a guy that quits on plays, and I think we need to go a different direction in the draft and get a decent corner in there. I know we got a Mockamore. He's still developing. I do like Hosley. A few rookie mistakes. But I know he's got talent, and he has a lot of effort. But I'm just wondering, do you think that, you know, Corey Webster will be back with us? Second question I have on the defense is our linebacking core. Chase Blackburn is the only thing we have back there. The rest of those guys, we have no speed or effort guys. Herslick had a shot a couple of times, but he didn't show me anything. We need at least two solid linebackers back there that can stop the run game. And then going to the offensive side of the ball, Bradshaw, I love him. He's just nicked up, you know, certain getting to that point, and I do agree with the multiple back set. I like Wilson. I just think he's a little bit smallish for what we want to do sometimes, and I think we need to get another pound back in there. Similar to when we had with Jacobs, but more flexibility to hit the hole. I like Lacey in the first or second round from Alabama. He looks like a guy that can catch the ball out the backfield and can block, you know, bring some block protection, some protection for Manning when called upon. So I don't know what you guys think about that. And the final question, I know the Giants are in the draft. When they in the draft, they look for the best player available. Are there any possibilities that they may trade up from the 19th pick in the first round to get somebody, defense or offense?
I mean, if they see somebody of really good value, the Giants will never take anything off the table, Frank. If they see somebody there that's worth trading up for, I think they'll go and they'll do it. But that is, generally speaking, not something, you know, the Ernie Orsi regime or the Jerry Reese regime has done in the past, except, of course, in the case of Eli Manning, where it made sense for the Giants to do just that. I want to jump back to Corey Webster, Frank, before we hit on the other stuff. Here's my only issue. I understand Webster had a poor year, and I don't think it's an effort thing where he takes plays off. I think sometimes he might lose a little bit of a focus, and then his technique gets sloppy, and then he gets himself into trouble. But I would be worried about going into next year relying on a rookie corner, Prince, who's in his third year, Hosey's in his second year, and not having a veteran presence at corner to really, quite frankly, help teach these guys in the classroom and be a leader at that spot. If you lose Corey Webster, and who knows about Terrell Thomas if he can even make it back, suffering that knee injury once again this year, don't you worry a little bit of relying on so much youth at corner without any veteran experience?
Right, but couldn't we do like Dallas did and get somebody in free agency like they got Brandon Carr?
You have to have cap space, though, Frank, for that.
Yeah.
Giants right now don't have a lot of flexibility. So, you know, if you get rid of Webster, you have to know that you can afford to bring in a veteran free agent that, number one, can fit into your system, and number two, the money and the financials work. And I don't know if the Giants necessarily can be guaranteed that.
Right, okay. Well,
that's the big situation with Corey Webster. The other thing that I wanted to touch on that you had mentioned, Frank, about a running back that hits the hole, you know, I would make the point that I think that Andre Brown fits that criteria. Now, he's a restricted free agent. Remember, he got hurt midway through the season. They bring him back. That's your goal line back. So I think that they don't necessarily have to look outside the box to grab a free agent who maybe has the mold of a Brandon Jacobs. You bring back Brown. You complement him with Bradshaw if you choose to continue to have him play a role in this offense, as well as David Wilson. You have your three-headed monster. They all play different roles, and I think the Giants will be fine.
Yeah, Fred, you mentioned trying to use an early-round draft pick, too, on a running back or a corner. I think it's more likely that you'll see an early first-round pick used on the second position you talked about, a linebacker, where you're right, the Giants certainly do need some help.
Right. I was just in concern with – I know Brown is great. It's just that, you know, we suffer so many injuries, and then we don't have any depth. So I was thinking, you know, and I do like Brown when he's in there, but, I mean, the guy's been hurt once or twice too many, and it just hurts us down the line. So I was thinking if we can get somebody like maybe a Lacy, because running backs are not a high commodity nowadays, and you may can get them in the second or third round, a decent one. I mean, look at the Redskins with Alfred Morris in the sixth round. So I was just thinking maybe we can get some depth at that position, because when these guys get hurt, it's like we're screwed, man.
well, yeah, no, and that's a valid point, Frank, but I think if they were to do that, like you said, you would probably take a running back in the sixth or the seventh round, and I'm not sure necessarily if Lacy is going to be there then. You're talking about the Alabama running back, because clearly he's pro-ready, and any running back in a Nick Saban system is usually ready to come in and make a very quick impact. That's fine if the Giants want to go that route, but their biggest need is more so linebacker, maybe in the secondary.
Offensive,
I think that's
line.
What you address in the early rounds, yeah, before you even think about contemplating
a
running
back.
The
last 3 years, they've used a first-round pick on both a corner and a running back. So unless there's a player that really stands out, you're probably not going to see another early draft pick spent on a running back, especially since I think oftentimes, Frank, and thanks a lot for the call, we appreciate it, that you can find a running back later on in these drafts that can be effective for you without necessarily having to spend the first-round pick on him.
And there's been a lot of talk about Teo from Notre Dame, about whether or not he'll be around there in the vicinity when the Giants pick. He had a rough game in that BCS championship contest against Alabama, and I know it's only one contest, but you have to wonder if that changes the perception of most NFL executives, John. And the reason I bring that up is, let's be honest, Alabama is the closest to an NFL team that Teo would have gone up against throughout his collegiate career.
That's correct.
So you need to at least put some stock in that performance. And you wonder if that now has changed the way that NFL executives look at him moving forward. It's all speculation at this point. I think it may hurt his stock a bit. And clearly it will depend on how he performs at the combines and so forth. But you can't always go for that big name type of player. You need to go with the guy that's going to fit your system and has potential to grow within that system.
Hey, look, you scout the guy like normal. He's a big name, Notre Dame, Heisman candidate, all that stuff. It's fantastic. Look at him on tape. Look at him when he comes in for his workouts. If you're thinking he'd be an effective player, you look to pick him. You don't let one game take you one way or the other. The tape doesn't lie. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. Look at what he's done over the course of the year, and then make your decision on him like you would anybody else. I did not watch him enough in college to give an educated or quasi-educated opinion on whether or not I think he's going to be a good pro. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody out there can determine for a linebacker how they're going to adjust going from the athletes at a collegiate level to the athletes at the pro level. You have much bigger offensive linemen, faster skill position guys, more athletic offensive linemen. How's a linebacker going to react and play versus those guys? I'm not talented enough, smart enough, or NFL savvy enough to tell you what the case is with those things. These other guys are, they'll look at them, they'll figure it out.
Look at Herzlich, for example. Top college football player coming out. Now, granted, unfortunately, he had to deal with cancer off the field, and that kept him off the field in terms of him having a continuous career during his Boston College days. But, you know, it's been a learning curve for him even to get back to near 100% form that he showcased early in his collegiate career. And, you know, he's still working in that regard. Remember, there was the whole talk that he was going to compete and possibly beat out Chase Blackburn for that starting middle linebacker spot. It didn't necessarily pan out that way. So nothing's guaranteed when it comes to the draft. I think a lot of teams across the NFL, as well as the Giants, have seen that in past drafts. It's just a matter of them determining, do we go the route of the draft to get a game changer in that linebacker core, or do we go the route of free agency? Now, they went the route of free agency slash trade last offseason by acquiring Keith Rivers. Fortunately, he could not stay healthy on the football field. And Boley had his fair share of injuries this season. I know Frank was discussing the whole linebacker position. To me, it's not necessarily that they don't have the players. The problem is, can they stay healthy game to game? Can three guys be together for anywhere from 12 to 14 games each season? Giants haven't necessarily been able to prove that year in and year out.
No, not necessarily. 201-939-4513.
Let's go to Allen in D.C. Allen, what's happening?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Al?
Still loving the show, man. I appreciate you guys for being on every day, man.
Thanks for listening, Al.
But, you know, for next year, man, as a Giant fan, I don't think any of our guys are going to the Pro Bowl. We're going to be in the Super Bowl. defending a medal, you know, at MetLife. You know, this is like looking at the NFC East for next year. I mean, I think we're the most consistent team right now. I think, you know, we let this one get away from us, you know, but I think, you know, Redskins are still dealing with the RG3, you know, quarterback, you know, health. Phillies, you know, they're reconstructing, you know, even starting from the head coach. And, you know, Dallas, they're just going to shoot themselves in the foot like they always do. I don't have much faith in them. I think, you know, we control our own destiny. I think we have a good shot to play in the first Super Bowl outside in the cold weather in MetLife. And, you know, that's just my belief, and I strongly believe that. But, you know, if I had to pick one, I agree with Frank, Stevie Brown, and even Victor Cruz. I think they can appearance at the Pro Bowl. I think their numbers are going to be pretty much similar to this season. And, you know, I think we got to make a lot of defensive changes, you know, to especially for that stopping the run. And the run defense was horrible in the last 2 years. So I think if we do that, you know, we should be good contenders for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, Stevie Brown was an alternate this year, and I should have brought this up when the prior caller brought up Stevie Brown. Yeah, so odds are it's probably not going to get to the point. And thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it, Alan, where he's going to be a member of this team and play. That being said, look, he had a great year. He was a ball hawk. He made a lot of plays. That being said, some of those picks were gifts, where he's 6-7 yards behind the intended receiver. The quarterback air mails the ball, goes right to him. Now,
you still got to make the play.
And three or four of them were, where he made great plays, stepped in front of the guy on the sideline, jumped a route here or there, played the deep ball well. Those are legit plays. But some of those had to do with luck. And quite frankly, that's the reason year in, year out, usually the same guy is not on the top of the interception chart. You have exceptions like the Ed Reeds of the world, the Troy Polamalu's of the world, things like that. But generally speaking, you need some good fortune to go your way if you're going to get picks. Quite frankly, if the quarterback doesn't make a bad throw, even if you have the best coverage, you know, it's very rare for you to get an interception. So I just think a lot of times luck has to do more with getting those numbers like interceptions than, say, skill, because circumstances have to be at the right place at the right time. But give Stevie Brown credit. I thought he was deserving to play in the Pro Bowl this year. He made the plays he had to make. If he was a starter in the Pro Bowl, I would not have had a problem with that.
I agree. Interceptions aside, though, John, to me what really stood out about Stevie Brown's play was his ability to return. I mean, he was averaging almost 40 yards a return on all of those interceptions. Yeah. Think about all the favorable field position that the Giants were able to benefit off of Stevie Brown's game-changing type of plays. That, to me, is a trend that can easily continue, regardless of who's intercepting the football for the Giants in the secondary, because it speaks volumes of the blocking that not just he got, but the overall team provided. So that's something that you want to see continue.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Brian in New York. Brian, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
how you doing, Brian? What you got?
I just wanted to hit on everybody talking about changing coaches yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
I just think it's terrible that Giants fans want to resort to that. I mean, you look at all the bad teams, the Oakland Raiders, the Kansas City Chiefs, and all these bad teams, that the one thing they have in common is no consistency at coaching, whether the offense or the defense. They're switching coaches every year. And, you know, in my opinion, to have Kevin Gilbride with Eli Manning basically his entire career, that is a gift. That is a gift that Giants fans should be excited about. And, you know, in my mind, you know, if Perry Fuel was actually given a chance to stay with the Buffalo Bills when he was the interim coach, I don't think Doug Marrone is there coaching right now. I think he's still coaching that team. What do you guys think?
Well, he could be. I don't think there's much of a way to speak to that. Obviously, a coach's success has a lot to do with the talent on the team. Would Ryan Fitzpatrick have been a much better quarterback for Perry Fuel? I don't have the answer to that. The Fred Jackson injuries, the defense not performing well this year. All those things for Buffalo would have been mitigating factors for Perry Fuel. But I think your larger point is right on the money in that consistency from year to year and continuity within a franchise in terms of the coaching staff and even the front office to a certain extent helps teams be consistent. Look at the most consistent teams in the league over the past decade. the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, they had Pioli for most of that time as well. Baltimore Ravens, Ozzie Newsome, they had Rex Ryan there as a defensive coordinator for many years. Then it got moved over, and now you have Harbaugh there as the head coach.
And they promoted assistants, by the way, when other guys left, guys that know the system.
Correct. They're still there. Take a look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You go from Cowher to Tomlin, same theories and ways of doing business in the front office. So, and even the Philadelphia Eagles, who have been super consistent for 10 years. They had Andy Reid as their head coach for all those seasons. So you go from team to team, and the teams that have the most success generally don't make those changes. Now, the question is, do they not make changes because they're successful, or are they successful because they don't make changes? The cause and effect there, I think, is something you may have to look into a little bit more. But you're right. Continuity and constantly changing offensive coordinators and offensive systems, defensive plays, defensive schemes, that doesn't help your team. That doesn't help your franchise long term.
Ask Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And Jason Campbell.
And what about Jay Cutler, too, for the Bears?
Yeah, Jay Cutler. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, I mean, you got to think about what Jason Campbell could have been with one coordinator like Eli's had for the past 10 years.
And that's a great point, Brian, and appreciate the phone call. Stability, as John was talking about, is so key when it comes to the success of a franchise. Even the New England Patriots, John, who have actually changed offensive coordinators a lot, but they bring back guys who know the system, as I was talking about with respect to the Baltimore Ravens. Josh McDaniels comes into the play last postseason. Well, he was the previous offensive coordinator before he left to Denver. Now they just hired Brian Daboll, the former Chiefs offensive coordinator. Well, he was with New England from 2000 to 2006. And Bill O'Brien, prior to that, the Penn State coach. You know, Bill Belichick may move around his staff, but he's bringing back guys that know his system and are familiar with the personnel in place.
And take a look, the first year the Steelers decide to change their offensive coordinator, leaving the Bruce Arians system, they struggle this year offensively, and Roethlisberger has some issues with the new offensive coordinator. Todd Haley. So I think from year to year you realize the benefits and the luxury of having consistency in those spots.
And that's why it's easy to criticize the Giants' offense, the fact that it's been up and down. But, you know, Kevin Gilbride has not had to really tweak things year to year or really overhaul things because he knows the players and the players know him. You bring in a new coordinator, now you have to have veterans and rookies adjust to a completely new system, not necessarily a good script to follow season in, season out. We go back to the lines. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We go to Jermaine in Ohio. Jermaine, what's happening?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
What up, Jermaine?
Hey, I was wondering, would you rather see us pick up somebody like Steven Jackson this season in free agency to show up our running game in a short yardage situation and power back, or would you rather see us go after somebody like Urlacher if they let him go in Chicago to help our run defense?
Well, Jermaine, in terms of the running game, I think you have a lot of money invested in Ahmad Bradshaw, a first-round pick in David Wilson, so I don't think you're going to bring in another big-name running back necessarily to be a short yardage guy to get, you know, 5-7 carries a game. I think Andre Brown showed last year he can be effective in that role, and I think that's the guy that Giants will bring back and trust in that situation. I would much rather, if you have the resources based on your salary cap situation and who the Giants re-sign off their own roster, I would be much more apt to bring in a veteran linebacker, especially at that Sam spot, because you're going to be moving Mathias Kiwanuka back to defensive end this next upcoming season. Bring in a good Sam linebacker, even a middle or a will, whatever you think is best in terms of talent available in the free agent market, and make the move with the linebacker spot. And I think that helps your run defense a lot, which might help bring back your pass rush next year.
Yeah, because every year we go after somebody's linebacker and they let go. And I'm not sure that they always show up. I mean, last year was Keith Rivers. The year before that, it was Keith Bullitt. I mean, we're always signing somebody and not getting a good season out of him. I think if we go after Urlacher, he might show up for us in that middle. At least help out Michael Bolden. What do you think?
You also have to wonder, though, how much gas Urlacher has left in the tank, whether or not he's also contemplating retirement. And with respect to Steven Jackson, Jermaine, keep in mind, he's been injury-plagued the last couple of seasons. You already have Bradshaw that John just mentioned. You have some money tied up with. He barely has been able to get on the practice field. You bring in another guy who has a similar injury history, who hasn't been able to practice each and every week. Don't know if that's necessarily the direction that the Giants want to go in.
Yeah, I just think Jackson's a big bruising back, man. We haven't had one like that since Otis Anderson. You know what I mean?
Ah, Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs cool, but he was more of a cancer, too. You know, he was cool, but he could be a cancer at times. What do you think about that?
Brandon Jacobs did have the tendency to open his mouth at times and maybe say things that people wouldn't like him to say. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but he was definitely a powerful runner when he made up his mind. That's what he wanted to do, you know. But I just think Steven Jackson plays 100% all the time when he's on the field. And I give you that he's injury prone.
No, Jermaine, we agree. Steven Jackson is a good running back, and he'd be great in that spot. But quite frankly, I'm not sure Steven Jackson would come to the Giants knowing his role would be that limited. If you want to give David Wilson 15, 17 carries a game, and you bring Bradshaw back, and you tell Steven Jackson, you'll do some pass protection, you do some short yardage, we'll run you 6, 7 times a game, I bet you Steven Jackson still thinks maybe he doesn't have 25 carries a game in him, but he probably still thinks he has 15 to 18 carries a game in him. And if he can't get that with the Giants, my guess, he'll go somewhere where he can get it.
I don't know. I think Steven Jackson's ready to play for a championship. He ain't been in the playoffs, I don't think, in all his whole career. But my Bradshaw, I love him to death. Only running back I've seen with us to get 2 Super Bowl rings, but he's got some bad wheels. He's going to have that surgery he needs this year. What do you think?
You know what? I don't believe he's having off-season surgery. I think that knee is going to heal on its own. I think that sprained ligament will get healthy. He never actually did refracture his foot, believe it or not. There was just some soreness down there. So I think Bradshaw is actually surgery-free this off-season. And, you know, not to be negative or anything, Jermaine, if Steven Jackson wants to go win a championship next year, there are other teams that are probably a little bit closer than the Giants are. Like, how about the Packers? That would be a perfect place for Steven Jackson to land in that Green Bay offense.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No, it's always a better fit for somebody, but I'm just trying to see us make an aggressive move after somebody because we always sign in linebackers every year to seem like him. We just don't never get it right with that position either. Every year we go and sign somebody free agent linebacker, and it just seems like we always mess up.
Now, Jermaine, I agree, and I think it's time you make a commitment to finding a difference-making linebacker this year, whether it's in the draft, in the first or second round, or in free agency. I think this is the offseason where the Giants really need to get improvement at the linebacker position. And I think, based on what Jerry Reese said, you can read between the lines a little bit at his end-of-the-season press conference, he said we have to get better at linebacker. I think that's going to be a big goal of the Giants this offseason.
Okay, my last question for you guys, if you got time.
Sure.
If he's available at number 18, do you think Tyler Eifert is a great fit for us for tight end?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't done much homework with respect to the draft, so for me to weigh in on that right now would be a little bit too early to speculate.
18's early for tight end. Generally speaking, you won't see many tight ends go that early in the draft. Again, I would, like Lance, I have to look at some of his video. I'd have to look at his numbers in college. That being said, I think the Giants like what they have in Martellus Bennett. Not sure if they're in love with him. So if they find an opportunity to upgrade in the draft at tight end, I think that's a spot they would jump at. Because much like linebacker, Jermaine, think about it. The tight ends over the past few years, you've had a different face in there for the better part of 3 or 4 years. Whether it was Kevin Boss, to Jake Ballard, Travis Beckham in and out, then Martellus Bennett. I think the Giants would like to get some consistency at tight end at some point. And drafting a guy is always a good way to go.
Yeah. Kevin Boss was definitely a great draft pick. We just didn't want to pay him to stay in L.A. I mean, stay in New York, but he kind of messed his career up by going out to Oakland. So, you know, it goes both ways.
Absolutely. Jermaine, thanks so much for the phone call. And the Raiders did throw a lot of money at him, so you understand why the Giants didn't match it. Remember, when you draft a young tight end, John, this system, you need to be able to protect the quarterback and block first. And
yep.
A lot of tight ends on the collegiate level do not experience that. So that's why it's a risky business when you take a tight end that early.
Yeah, especially with all these spread offenses in college now. These tight ends are more often H-backs that occasionally might, chip a guy. But they don't have that blocking ability in the pass protection or in the run game, for that matter, which is just as important, if not more so, for the Giants to play tight end at the NFL level. You're right. Look at Adrian Robinson. It's a huge adjustment.
And speaking of Adrian Robinson, who I was just going to bring up, Jerry Reese hinted that they see some potential in him as well. So, maybe they feel as if he can increase his role if they decide to re-sign Martellus Bennett, depending on how the market plays out. That is still always an option. I don't know necessarily if the draft is the biggest priority for them to go out and get a tight end, but I agree with Jermaine. I think the writing is on the wall with respect to the linebacker position, given how much of a struggle it was for the Giants this season to stop the run. They know this is the offseason where the patchwork is over. It's not just bringing in a guy for a year and hoping that we can clog up a hole. It's bringing a guy that is going to make an impact in 2013 and the years to come after that.
You got to improve the run defense.
You have to.
To me, mission one this offseason is A, protect Eli better, and B, stop the run better.
Offensive line and linebacker.
and an offensive lineman.
Two critical positions this offseason for the Giants to address.
No question. 201-939-4513. We're going to head out to Long Island and say hello to Mike. Mike, good morning, pal. How are you?
Okay, very good. You know, I was assessing the entire NFL as far as defenses are concerned.
Okay.
Now, every team spends the same amount of money every year.
Give or take.
There's a lot of parity amongst the 32 teams.
Also true.
And that's why, you know, scores, you know, if you get two good teams, the scores are, you know, relatively close. You get a lot of these overtimes, et cetera.
Okay.
And as far as talent, I think maybe there's a tolerance of maybe plus or minus 10% amongst all the teams. That's why I'm from the old school, and I believe that coaching represents 60% and talent-wise 40%. Now, I'm at the ESPN website, and I'm looking at the total defense for the 2012 season. The Giants were number 31 out of 32 teams.
But in terms of points allowed, they were much better. They were in the top half of the league.
I understand that, but I'm just looking at total defense.
Right. I got you.
Gave up a lot of yards.
Now, if I took over the defense of the New York Giants,
they'd be 32.
How much worse can I do?
32? They'd be 32. But the problem is that you have the same players here. And I disagree. You think how good teams are 60% coaching, 40% talent? I have one piece of evidence that will basically prove that to be incorrect. Look at the Colts in 2010, then look at the Colts in 2011, then look at the Colts in 2012. What changed?
Yeah.
Your quarterback. Talent. It's not coaching
I'm
just talent.
Talking in terms of defense, though. I'm just looking at defense. I'm not looking at offense. I agree. I understand what you're saying with respect to the quarterback, you know, weighs a lot with respect to the offense.
Yeah, but you know what?
As far as just defense is concerned,
you can have the best defensive coordinator on the planet. And, Mike, if you throw out guys that can't get to the quarterback and win their man-on-man matchups, which is something the Giants pass rushers couldn't do this year. If you have cornerbacks that you can't trust to cover guys man-on-man and stop them from making big plays, there's nothing coaches can do about that. If you don't have linebackers that know how to fill a hole and be aggressive in the running game, and defensive linemen that use their gap control well and are disciplined, the amount of coaching isn't going to matter. And I think a lot of times people get wrapped up with some of these coaches where, you know, guys get fired, they get let go. And a lot of times these guys just don't have a chance. You need guys, as Coach Coughlin says, to play above the X's and O's, outside what's on paper. And if you don't have the guys that can make those types of plays, you're going to struggle to succeed on any coaching level, whether it's high school, college, or especially in the NFL, where players make plays. Just look at this game, this current weekend. The Broncos had a great defense all year long. They were in a 3-deep zone coverage. I guarantee you the defensive coordinator all week coached Raheem Morris to not let the guy get behind them and play deep coverage in that third of the zone. Raheem Morris went out there on that final play of the fourth quarter. He did not execute his assignment, and that's why the Broncos lost the football game. It has nothing to do with coaching. It has to do with the players making the plays once they're out on the field.
Yeah, but I know if you look at individual games, you always find exceptions. But I'm talking about on the total average throughout the entire season, the 16 games. For instance, if I took the defensive coordinator from Pittsburgh and I put him on the Giants and I put Perry Fuel on Pittsburgh, don't you think there would be some differences with respect to the 2013 season with respect to total defense?
Well, you'd have to make a lot of changes, first off, because one guy runs a 4-3, one guy runs a 3-4, so the...
I don't care what they want to run. You know, the point is that I think that these kind of statistics are really based upon coaching, because there's so much parity. There's the talent. I'm telling you, it's not that much difference in any of these teams. Everybody's getting paid the same amount of money. You have $120 million, and you got to spend it.
Well, Mike, I have one more thing for you then. Did you like Steve Spagnuolo as the Giants' defensive coordinator in 2007 and 2008? Did you think he was a good defensive coordinator?
For the time he was here, yeah, I think he did a decent job.
So how come his defense was terrible this year in New Orleans? If it's if it's all coaching, how come he was great here when he had talent, and he stinks in the Saints because he has no players?
Coach and, you know, with all the publicity about what happened.
Well, but yeah, come on. I mean, we're far removed from those off-season issues.
Fine,
at this point.
You know what, then? Forget the Saints. Let's look at his Rams teams when he was the head coach and put the defense in, and their defense has stunk.
Well, like you said, he was the head coach. You know, the head coach manages the team. They don't manage the defense. That's a full-time job.
Well, but they have a say in the defense, and they're in some of those meetings.
They can't keep on top of everything. That's why they have a defensive coordinator.
Okay, how about another guy? Did you believe Romeo Crennel was a good defensive coordinator before when he was at New England?
Nah, I wouldn't say he was a good coordinator. No.
Okay, let me think of another example.
You got to go for another name. Mike's making it very difficult. Mike, by the way, you know what? If Dick LeBeau did come to the Giants, you're referring to the Steelers' defensive coordinator, I hope that he's not smiling on the sidelines. Because as the point that you brought up yesterday, you know, that's the key here. That's what we're missing in this conversation. No smiling on the sidelines. That determines the success of a defense or an offensive coordinator. See, we haven't forgot about that conversation, Mike.
You're right. Well, you know, I get upset when I'm in a bad mood.
We could tell. We want to make sure you smile a little, though. You got to find time during Big Blue Kickoff. Got to keep a little bit positive here this morning. Can't be all negative.
Okay.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
And before the end of the show, I'm going to come up with some more examples to use. I'm kind of empty in my head right now, but I'm going to try to come up with some more examples. I think Mike Nolan is a guy who's had success in some places and hasn't had as much success elsewhere. Dom Capers, another guy who's had a lot of success in the past. Oh, perfect. Wade Phillips. Last year, as the defensive coordinator and head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Brutal. Their defense was terrible. Goes to Houston, defensive coordinator, one of the best in the league. Talent.
Well, and also talent. Putting the talent, John, in a position to succeed. You know, you have to work with the strengths that you're given. And that's why if you said that, you know, Perry Fuel, the hypothetical that Mike used, if you took Perry Fuel and you made him the defensive coordinator of the Steelers, you know, Perry Fuel has his own philosophies, but he also needs to look back and see what the strengths of the current Steelers defense is. So he's not going to move Troy Polamalu down to the line just because he thinks he's going to get more interceptions. And that brings me to another point with respect to these defenses. The Packers, the year they won the Super Bowl. The Saints, the year they won the Super Bowl. Personnel hasn't drastically changed over the last 3 years. Yes, there's been some rookies that have been infused. And this gets back to the Giants' defense. They had interceptions those years. Very opportunistic. Turnovers can cover up some of the inefficiencies with talent and some of the inefficiencies with scheme. And that's what I think we saw in the first half of the season with respect to the Giants compared to the second half. The turnovers piled up. The last 8 games, it wasn't necessarily there. That's a big way for you to overcome some of the issues that your talent can't overcome. And that you need to take into consideration. It's a lot deeper than just, this is a great-minded defensive coach on the sideline that's going to come in and be your savior. You need the players in a position to succeed, and you need the overall talent.
And look, last year, the Giants' run defense, for all the problems the Giants had in the secondary last year, giving up big plays in the Super Bowl season, they actually were pretty good against the run back in 2011, if memory serves. I can look at the numbers to make sure of that, but I'm pretty sure they were pretty darn good. This year, with very similar talent, very similar players, they're terrible. Same defensive coordinator. So, what happened there? I think, and I get it, people that want to make coaching changes, that's the easy thing to do. You think you can, you know, flick the switch, snap your fingers, change the coach, you turn everything around. But more times than not, and this goes back to Jermaine, who called earlier. If you keep shuffling in and out defensive coordinators, your players never get comfortable in that system to play well. And quite frankly, the Giants have shuffled defensive coordinators a lot. 08 Spagnuolo, 09 Sheridan, and now Fuel for 2 years. You want to make another move? Or Fuel for 3 years now, excuse me, right? 10, 11, and 12. So do you want to make another move here and switch defensive coordinators again? I don't know if you want to do that.
Some players are now first becoming acclimated with Fuel's system. So if you were to bring in a new defensive coordinator, now it's another transition year. And it gets back to the whole offensive philosophy. You put your team in a precarious situation when you need veterans and rookies to all of a sudden on the fly have to digest a new playbook. We go to our good friend Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Len, good morning. Did you survive the winter storm that went through Maryland yesterday?
Well, I'm hanging in there pretty good, but let me just say this. January is a long month when your team's not in the playoffs.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Especially when I got neighbors on my left, neighbors on my right, neighbors across the street, all rooting for the Ravens. And to tell you the truth, I'm a little jealous. But hey, we'll get back there. And I think the way we're going to get back to the, you know, to the big game, the way we're going to get back to the Super Bowl, and this has to do with the draft. Everybody wants a difference maker. We got one, Eli Manning. Protect your assets. Protect Eli and give him more weapons. I know we scored 423 points last year, third most in franchise history. Maybe it was 429, one of those two numbers. In any event, let's score more, guys. Give him more weapons. We got maybe a 5 or 6 year window here. Let's take advantage of it. Protect your assets. Let's put more and more points on the board and keep him upright. And good things will happen. Good things will happen. You know, the Pro Bowl, in my mind, is it's really all about star power. The best part of the Pro Bowl for me these days, and NBC didn't do it last year when they broadcast, is when they introduced the players and the cameras up close, and I get to see my guys with their helmets off. I get to see Victor. I get to see Eli, JPP, Chris Snee. I mean, my heroes, they're there. They got their helmets off. They're in the Pro Bowl. If you have any pull with NBC, tell them, put on those, you know, put on the introduction of the players before. Last year they didn't do it. They went straight to the game. I know they got great ratings, but that's the one change I would make with that. You know, it's all about star power. People want to see stars. If you told me Jennifer Lopez was going to be up at the Columbia Mall this morning, not doing any acting, she was just going to be up there, I'd get in my car and drive up and see the star.
Len, a big J-Lo fan. Who knew? Jenny on the block, baby.
I could have picked some other ones, but I picked J-Lo because I drive. It's 10 minutes away. I'd go up there and see J-Lo. I'm not against trading up in the first round. But there better be a difference maker there because it's going to cost you to move up from 19 to even to 18. It's going to cost you, and we better see if we do trade up. And again, I'm not against it. And if Jerry thinks there's somebody out there who can help us in 2013, hey, let's go for it. But boy, it better be a difference maker. You can't just, you know, you can't risk that first round pick and giving away a second round pick along with the first one. Back on that Pro Bowl thing, you know, I'm not bragging, just a fact. I saw my first Pro Bowl in January of 1959 in the L.A. Coliseum, East versus West. Frank Gifford was the most valuable player in that game, and a guy named Gene Big Daddy Lipscomb, who played for the Baltimore Colts, was the defensive MVP for the game. And I tell you, I was excited because it was about seeing the best. It was football, but it was about seeing the best out there. And, of course, you know, Frank made my day. He was the most valuable player that day. I think people watch because they want to see stars, even if they're just standing there.
You know, that's interesting, Len. A lot of people that I know complain about those long, drawn-out NBC introductions where each guy kind of introduces himself with his helmet off. But I guess you really like it. You think it helps identify more with the players who you really can't see on the field with their helmets on.
Even, you know what? Even if it's Adrian Peterson, you know, even if it's somebody from the, you know, the hated Eagles or the Redskins or the Cowboys, you know, you want to see these guys. I mean, these are guys who are household words, you know, household names, and you know, these are the stars in the league, and you know, and it's their time. It's a big thing to get to the Pro Bowl. I don't care if you're replacing somebody or not. Listen, you get on that roster for the Pro Bowl, you're one heck of a good professional football player. You are good, and you know, I want to see the stars. Maybe I'm a little starstruck, guys. I don't know.
Sounds
well,
like
clearly
that.
Based on the Jennifer Lopez theme here, Len. That's understandable. And by the way, her new movie, in case you're interested, comes to theaters next week. So just make sure you find some time in the Baltimore, Maryland area
now even,
to make your way to the theater.
Even bigger, American Idol's back this year. No J-Lo, but Len, does the Mariah Carey edition interest you well? Or the Nicki Minaj edition interest you?
Oh, my God. side and watch those two argue with each other. That'll be a beautiful thing.
Well, Lance is a big Nicki Minaj fan.
Oh, without a doubt, yes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to break down the offensive line better than Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks for tolerating me. We'll talk again later.
You got it, Len. All right, thanks so much for weighing in.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that he's got.
Yes.
He's just Len from Maryland.
Absolutely.
Hanging out in this porch in his rocking chair.
Just another average day here.
Yes.
On Giants.com. And he's right, though, with respect to also the offensive linemen, I think, would welcome any additional face time they can get, because those guys normally have their helmets on each and every week.
Though, if I have to hear one more guy say the Ohio State University or the U, I'm tired of that. Enough. And then the guys that list like their middle school now, or their elementary school, it's like John Schmell, Gil Hodges Elementary School, class of 91. On,
well, one
please.
Guy wants to one-up the other. That's right. What it's gotten to at this point. They don't want to sound redundant.
What's next, preschool? Your AAU basketball team?
Pee-wee football maybe to throw in?
Little, I mean, Giants?
Well, why stop there? Yeah, absolutely.
I could see you being a big Little Giants fan growing
up. It was a
up.
Good movie. I'll agree. I mean, right. I don't know if that's drawing me to the theaters like J-Lo is to Len, but it was a cute movie.
Does J-Lo actually have a movie come out, or did you just make that
Parker,
up?
The one with Jason, what, Statham, right, next week? I don't even know why I'm promoting this here on Giants.com. It's not like we're getting a benefit. I'm sure they're loving this here.
I didn't realize she was in that
Yeah,
Jason
she's
Statham
in that movie,
movie.
Yeah. I wow. saw The Coming Attractions. That's the only reason why. It
clearly
was a perfect
you
segue.
Are locked well, into Len IMDb set it up. On the
you know what, it's
J-Lo
funny? I actually,
crew page.
I brought that site up.
I didn't even look
well,
at that.
I figured, you know, with Len talking so much about Jennifer Lopez, I was tired of looking at an offensive lineman who were on the market this season. I figured we'd, you know, change things up a bit.
All right, back to the phones. Let's try to add some sanity back to the program with Dave up in Rochester at 201-939-4513. What's up, Dave?
Fellas, good morning. Hey, holy smokes, what's up with that guy Mike? He's so angry.
I know.
He needs to take his medication and drink a beer and take a nap and relax. And he forgot that we won a Super Bowl with Perry Fuel. Really? So, three things I wanted to talk about was, Lance, I want to go back to what you talked about with the Pro Bowl. For me as a fan, I like the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl because it's kind of like if Giants do get in, it's like my last cool effort to maybe watch a little bit of their playtime. And then if I wanted to make a prediction,
sure.
I wanted to comment, I think Pro Bowl for next year, I think Eli Manning is one, and I think JPP. I think those two guys kind of reflect on this year's season and say, hey, it really wasn't the best. And I think they come back strong next year. And then I want to get your opinion, and I have another Dettino scenario.
All right, here we go.
Getting good.
I think we get Dettino and Eisen in a room together, and Lance, you said yesterday we have a stat off. We call it a stat off, and maybe we can do it at maybe like the MetLife, and if we can't, we'll run a bar in like Manhattan, and we get all Giants fans can come in and ask those two questions, and then see who wins the stat contest. Just a thing, just throwing it out there.
Or a little Jeopardy trivia-esque type of situation, too,
right.
Think we could do.
Yeah, we'll get some drinks, and fans can ask some questions. And I think it'd be a good night. It'd be fun.
We could also have, like, a facial hair competition. You know, Eisen's got the nice stash. Dettino has, like, the Count Beard thing going. We could have a vote on that, too, maybe.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, we
could
have a variety of topics. It doesn't just need to be giant stats. It could be, you know.
You just, like, remember – Mike used to always wear that like man purse thing on the side, you know. That, you know, we get asking questions about that.
What man purse? What are you talking about?
Remember, he used to have that man purse, his phone on the side of his belt all the time.
Oh yeah. Eisen at some point was the key of having the BlackBerry in the holster. That is correct.
Ah.
Yeah. He was doing the whole big leather thing on the side. He put change in it. It said.
Was there a Giants logo on there too? I mean, you know, we want to work in the promotion of the team through that.
No, he had to say, like, he had to keep that on his side. He had to call his wife and stuff like that, he said.
All right, Dave. Good stuff.
All right, I love you guys.
I'm with you. Great call,
man.
Thanks, Dave. You know, we didn't hear from Dave much during the regular season. Not the off-season here. He's a daily caller. I love it.
And he's full of ideas, too. That's what we like.
I'm very excited about that.
Well, we're hearing from a variety of different
people. And by the way, Pete in Pennsylvania, we were going to get to you next. I'm sorry. You were going to be the last caller of the show. You feel free to call back tomorrow, Friday. I'll make sure when you call in, we'll get you right up. Sorry for letting you stay on hold so long. We had all the lines filled up. We were trying to get to everybody. So, Pete in Pennsylvania, if you're out there still listening, feel free to give us a call back tomorrow or Friday, and we will certainly get you up as soon as humanly possible. We never gave our predictions for who we think will be in the Pro Bowl for the Giants in 2014. It was our question, and we never actually answered it ourselves. How about that? That's some bad hosting on our part.
I like Hakeem Nicks next season. I think he's going to have a huge bounce
stole
back
my
in.
Answer, well, I knew that Beto.
It was at the tip of your tongue.
You stole
so
my answer.
So now you need to be digging deeper for a better answer.
Linval Joseph.
Okay. Not bad.
How about that one?
Certainly could help in stopping the run, getting to the quarterback. They'd like to see a big year out of him.
I think Canty's also a
possibility. I was going to say Canty, too, would be a good answer.
I think one of those or both of those defensive tackles have big years next year. And maybe Ancho Roll can make it back, too, if he gets some picks.
Or even a corner having a good year, depending on what the situation looks. Maybe Prince Amukamara having a breakout year, potentially. Maybe this is his year where he stands out among the group.
Or maybe David Wilson is a combination running back kick returner.
No, Wilson was an alternate, if I'm correct, right? Didn't
you
mention
that? Yeah, but that doesn't count as a Pro
Bowl. Well, I'm just saying, taking the next step regarding special teams. He doesn't necessarily have to make a mark just in the running game.
Right. So I think all those guys are possibilities. Lawrence Tynes, maybe as well, if he comes back. He had a very solid
free agent.
Correct. Probably no way the linebacker position. Offensive line, you know, maybe Chris Knee makes a reappearance. Maybe William Beatty, if he makes a return, continues to take another step at left tackle. He might have a shot at that.
Or if maybe Martellus Bennett comes back, perhaps his numbers can increase or be a little bit more consistent.
I'd like to see Henry Hanoski as a potential fullback nominee, too, if he continues to improve. He had a very good second season.
And that's another common theme, by the way, with the teams that are in the playoffs right now. Very strong fullback play. Vontae Leach, look at what he's done for that Ravens running game.
Except for the Patriots. They don't really use a fullback.
Well, the Patriots' offensive line has been very good the last couple of years. Yes. So I think that at least helps them overcome not having a big-time playmaker. But the other teams certainly have had good fullback play, and that's the best way to open up some holes for your running game.
Yeah.
And that's why Hynoski, I thought, you know, sometimes has been the unsung hero on this team. Doesn't get a lot of credit. I mean, granted, it's because the running game struggled, but he has made an impact, whether it be limited in the passing game, but as well in the running game. I think that he's really helped provide a security blanket if the offensive line is not playing up to expectations.
I think those are all options. Callers, by the way, I must say, over the past few weeks, even though the Giants have been out of the playoffs, you guys have done a fantastic job on the phones. We could not do the show without you. We appreciate it. Excellent work.
Well, it's like Len said, January could be a very long month. Yeah. So this is almost a group therapy. Everybody chimes in together and tries to get through the month without the Giants in the postseason.
So where's John McClain, Lance?
John McClain, boy, you have been teasing this interview for weeks. We're going to wind up disappointing all of our listeners because
I have
we wind
faith
up
in John
teasing
McClain.
Things and then nobody comes on the
now,
program.
Now, I did see him in Central Park the other day in a fountain with three big jugs trying to get the water into the jugs and measure out the thing. So maybe he's still busy doing that.
We're continuing the movie theme here, clearly. Have you seen him in the financial district?
I have not, but I did see a lot of dump trucks driving past my apartment the other day, and I thought I saw a man on top of one of them, so that could have been it.
You know, we could very well promote another upcoming movie, by the way. You know, we've already thrown out one. There is another film tied to that storyline hitting theaters very shortly.
So you think it might be in Moscow somewhere, is basically what
it could
me.
Be, and there could be another John McClain sighting at a theater near you. Just, in the coming days.
Just not on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Absolutely not. And not brought to you by Andrew Marr.
No. Anyway.
I think that wraps things up today.
Fun
I think we've
show.
Had our fair share
yeah,
of laughs.
We did,
absolutely.
No question.
We'll be back tomorrow morning and the rest of the week, 9:30 to 10:30. We'll be continue to take your phone calls. You can chime in on Twitter, #GiantsChat. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Meadow. Have a good one.
Be good.